Exodus 14, verses 19 through 20. The Lord is yet speaking to us from this chapter. I honestly thought I was finished with this chapter last week, but God has directed us here again. And I suspect that he will have us here again on next Sunday as well. Exodus chapter 14, beginning at verse 19. Then the angel of God, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to the one side and light to the other side. So neither went near the other all night long. This is the word of the Lord. Can we pray? Lord Jesus, we thank you for the privilege it is to be able to come into your house and to be amongst them that are sanctified. We thank you for the privilege it is to sing praises in a public place and to lift up our hands in your sanctuary. We thank you for the privilege of your presence, God. We thank you because we realize that even when we show up, doesn't mean you have to show up. But we thank you, God, that you always show up. Hallelujah, God. You always manifest your presence with us in one way or another. As we approach your word this morning, God, speak to us. Open up our minds and our hearts to receive what you have for us today, so that when we leave this place, we will have a better understanding of your purpose and your plan and what it is you want us to do or what it is you want us to know. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, bind up every distraction that will come and prevent the word from going forth with power and authority. We thank you for the spirit of liberty that is in this place. Hallelujah. That we are being made free because of your word. These blessings we ask and receive them now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. This Exodus chapter 14 is a pretty significant chapter of the Bible. It really gives us the final deliverance that the children of Israel experienced as they were coming out of Egypt into the promised land. The children of Israel are in that in-between state, not in bondage, but haven't received God's promise. We used to say that we're not what we want to be, but thank God we're not what we used to be, I'm not as bad off as I was in the past, but I haven't really reached my full potential. I'm somewhere in the middle. And when we are in the middle, that's when the adversary likes to threaten us and talk to us and cause us to doubt God's promise, cause us to feel, God, it would have been better if you would have just left me where I was. My life wasn't perfect, but it was certainly better than it is right now. Why didn't you just leave me in that place of bondage? But we've been free from that, yet we have not received the promise that God has promised yet. But let us be clear here, as we look at this text, that from the moment the children of Israel walked out of Egypt, God's presence was with them. From Egypt to the promised land, wherever they were, there was a confirmation of God's presence. And when we look through the scriptures, God led them and guided them in three primary ways. The first thing that God did was he spoke to Moses in an audible tone where Moses can get instructions from God on what to tell Israel to do. So God spoke to Moses, and the Moses spoke to the people. Moses obeyed God, the people obeyed Moses. Moses got instructions from God, the people got instructions from Moses, and they obeyed. The instructions from God were clear. And I want us to know this, because the adversary wants us to think that receiving instructions from God is confusing and it's hard to figure out. But the reality is, he doesn't want you to know for sure what God is saying, because if you figure out what God is saying, then he's already defeated. Hallelujah. If you know for sure what God is speaking, then nothing that the adversary plans will work. So here's what God told Israel. The first thing he said was, get out. Pack up. Get out of Egypt. It's time to go. You've been here 400 years. I've heard your cry, and it's time to get out. So then, as they were traveling, in verse 1 of chapter 14, we see that God told them, turn left. Get out. Turn left. When they turned left, they found themselves trapped. They found themselves between two mountains and a sea and Pharaoh's army behind them. And then he said, stand still. They're in panic mode. They are here because you said, get out. We obeyed you when you said, get out. We obeyed you when you said, turn left. Now we're stuck. And you're saying what? Stand still. Stand still. I'm working here. Then the next instruction we got last week, he said, move forward. Get out, turn left, stand still, move forward. As we continue to read in the book of Exodus, the next instructions he gave them was to cross over. Get out, turn left, stand still, move forward, and cross over, he said. Cross over this Jordan. Then the last thing he said was possess it. Oh yes, that's here's the process. Get out, turn left, stand still, move forward, cross over, and possess it. I don't know where you are on your journey this morning. You might be at the get out stage, but some of you are at the possess it stage, and some of y'all are stuck at the crossover stage, and God is saying, cross over. You already turned left. You thought that it was good to go right. God said, turn left. You found yourself trapped. He said, stand still, and you were there for a while, but then he said, move forward, cross over, and possess it. Always giving clear instructions. Don't let the devil tell you that God doesn't speak and he's not giving instructions. Sometimes we don't know what to do because we're not supposed to do anything. You got to learn how to interpret the voice of God. Sometimes God's silence is his way of saying stand still. Why? Because sometimes if he says cross over, we want to cross over today. No, sometimes he's saying get ready to cross over. Hallelujah. But if he, come on, am I by myself? Has God ever told you something is coming and you thought that it was now? The Bible talks about the kingdom of God is now, but not yet. Hallelujah. And some of us are moving now and God is saying, not yet. Not yet. So he'll hold back instructions because we get too eager. He said, listen, I got a promise for you, but not now. You're going to cross over, but not now. You're going to move, but not now. You're going to get out, but not now. You got to wait through the process. There's a process that God takes us through. The second way we look in scripture that God led the children of Israel is a pillar of cloud by day and fire by night. It was a tangible manifestation of the promise of God, the leading of God. So the cloud, as you know, gave direction during the day, and fire gave direction at night. The good thing about it is that whether you're in a day season or a night season, God is still directing. Huh? If it's too dark to see a cloud, he'll send some fire. And if it's in the middle of the day and you wouldn't be able to see the fire, he'll send the cloud. But regardless of it, whether it's day or night, you can trust God to give you a sign, something to look towards and know that I'm still with you. The cloud and the fire was a manifestation of the presence of God. It was the confirmation that even though you're in this wilderness, I am still with you. I'm with you in the day. And I'm with you at night. Anybody glad that God is present at night? Lord, I have found out that nighttime is the worst time. Hallelujah. But God, I thank you because even in my night season, I can look up and see a confirmation. Anybody ever been going through something and God just gave you a confirmation that I'm here? He says, yeah, cross over, but not now. Okay, I'm frustrated with that, but I'm glad about the fact that you're reminding me that I'm still here. Hallelujah. Here's the good thing is that he is still here. And sometimes the only thing you need to know is that God is here. Huh? Sometimes the only thing you need to go is that God hasn't left. And God, I love him so much because every time you need a confirmation that he is here, some way or somehow he'll send you a sign to let you know, I haven't forgotten my promise. I'm still here. I know you're hurt. I know you're disappointed. I know you're all by yourself, but guess what? I'm still here. I'm still here. And I tell you what, when God is with us, we can go through anything. You can face anything when God is with you. You can fight any adversary. You can walk through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me, the prophet said. Because you're with me. So he spoke to them to guide them. There was cloud and fire to guide them and remind them of his presence. But the third way that he confirmed his leading of them, the Bible tells us that the angel of the Lord was always ahead of them. The angel of the Lord went before them and prepared the way. The angel of the Lord made a highway in the wilderness. The angel of the Lord was the captain of the Lord's army, and he was assigned to protect the children of Israel. His only assignment was to defeat anyone who would rise up against the children of Israel. And he was there to remind them that I got you covered. It is being safe and secure, knowing that even though it's nighttime and I'm in the wilderness, the angel of the Lord is with me. And here's the thing, he's a warring angel. Hallelujah. He's an angel that knows how to fight. Hallelujah. And is aware of the strategies that the adversary uses against us. And he fights on our behalf. So we look at the scripture and it says the angel of the Lord went before them. So here, in the wilderness, God was speaking. He was leading and protecting. Here. Speaking, leading, and protecting. That's the joy, one of the many joys of serving God, is knowing that even in our wilderness experiences, we can trust that God will speak, lead, and protect. Yeah. It's this confidence that we have that even if I can't hear him now, I know eventually he's going to say something about my situation. Somehow he's going to lead me into the way that I should go. I have some decisions that I need to make, and I don't want to make the wrong decision. And so I have confidence knowing that he's going to lead me to whatever decision is the right decision. Not only that, but he's protecting me, because the wilderness is an unpredictable place. In the wilderness, and all of us have been in wilderness seasons in our life, but a wilderness is a situation where standard operating procedure doesn't work. A wilderness experience is a wild situation where you don't know what to expect from day to day, from moment to moment. There is no such thing as security in the wilderness. There are no grocery stores in the wilderness. There's no bank account in the wilderness. There's not a great network in the wilderness. When you're in the wilderness, you can't depend on anything. It is a wild situation. But what I found out, though, is that in our wilderness experiences in life is when we do most of our spiritual growth. Yeah. Wilderness experiences is the proving ground of our faith. It's where our faith is tested. In the wilderness, you find out whether you love God because of who he is or what he does. In the wilderness is where you find out if you just trust God when you can understand what he's doing, or do you trust him even when you don't understand what he is doing. A wilderness teaches you whether you praise God because you have everything that you want, or do you praise him because he is worthy of praise. See, anybody can praise him on the mountaintop, but the test of your faith is when you go through the valley of the shadow of death. Can you praise him? Can you praise him when the people who used to help you are not available anymore? Can you praise him when the people who used to love you don't love you anymore? Listen, the wilderness teaches you how to love people who don't love you back, and be good to people who are not good to you, and to keep your promise even when everybody around you is breaking theirs. The wilderness teaches you. That's why we used to sing a song, I've learned how to lean on Jesus. I've learned how to trust him. The wilderness teaches you how to have nothing and everything at the same time. The wilderness teaches you how to move forward all by yourself, and at the same time realize that you're never alone and you're never by yourself. How do you know that God is a friend that sticks closer than a brother until your family walks out on you? How do you know that God is a healer until you go to the doctor? Everybody knows you are sick, but there's nothing they can do about it, and he heals you. How do you know that he gives joy in sadness unless you go through seasons of sadness? Can I tell you, the wilderness is the place where our faith is developed. We can't have that kind of faith that's only good when things are good. You got to grow up some. You got to learn how to take a hit and keep on moving. You got to learn how to be talked about and not talk negatively about God. You have to learn how to be mistreated and still treat everybody right. You have to learn how to know somebody's lying on you and yet you pray for them and you have an opportunity to get them back. But for the sake of the gospel, you say, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. That's for the mature church. Let me get back to my notes here before I offend somebody. In our seasons of uncertainty, we look to God for certainty. The presence of God was the only thing that Israel could be certain of during this season. the presence of God was the only thing that they could depend upon. And I'm telling you that sometimes you will go through a season in your life where the only constant in your life will be the presence of God. The only constant that will be in your life is knowing that God is with you. Here's the last point about the wilderness. In the wilderness is when you learn that there is nothing more precious than the presence of God. Did y'all hear what I said? In the wilderness is when you learn that there's nothing more precious than the presence of God. David said, cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Exodus 33:14 says this, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Here's the thing. There is rest in the presence of the Lord. That's why we come here on Sunday morning. We invoke the presence of the Lord because we've been carrying burdens all week long, but when we get in the presence of the Lord, we can rest from our fight and rest from our burdens. Listen, there is no sadness, there is no heaviness, there is no struggle, there is no fight in the presence of the Lord. The Bible says, in the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. Full, complete joy means everywhere there is joy. And he says, and at the right hand are pleasures forevermore. And he says, and my presence will go with you. So here is the dilemma that we find in this text, and then we'll be finished for today. The dilemma in this text actually reveals how God deals with us. It's a dilemma, but it's also an opportunity for God to manifest his power one more time. It's a dilemma, but it's also a teachable moment. And can I say this before we move forward? The dilemma that you are dealing with this morning is a teachable moment. There's something that God is trying to teach you through what you consider a dilemma. Another powerful thing about this text is that God reveals one of his strategies. That when we're in transition, when we're feeling threatened, God reveals one of his strategies in this text. And it's so profound that many years later, Isaiah looked at what happened in these two verses, and he comes to a conclusion about how God deals with us. So let's look at what happened here, and then I'll tell you what Isaiah said about this text. Verse 19, let's read again. Then the angel of God, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew. And went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them. So the presence of God, the cloud, the fire, and the angel that was in front of them moved behind. Let me make this point here. I've been wanting to use these balloons, so I'm going to use them today. Here we go. So they're traveling. Mountains on either, why y'all laughing? That's a perfect demonstration. Mountains on either side of them. The sea in front of them. Pharaoh's army is behind them. And the only thing that is giving them security is that when they look up, they see the angel of the Lord. That means we have somebody fighting for us. They see the cloud and say, there's somebody directing us. And when it got night, that cloud turned into fire. So they always had something to look at to have confirmation that God is with them. Now, we're in a critical stage here. How many of y'all are in a critical situation right now? And the only reason you're still in your right mind is because when you look up, you can see that God is still with you. Oh, there's no way out that way. There's no way out that way. And what's behind me could take me out of here. But at least when I look to the hills from which cometh my help, I realize my help cometh from the Lord. So I'm going to be okay. But then something happens. The angel that was in front of him gets behind him. Now, wait a minute. Last week, Moses said, move forward. So I can't look back. Uh-oh. Remember the last time somebody looked back in the Bible? What happened to her? She turned into salt, okay? So ain't no look back in God, okay? We're looking forward. But I'm looking at the place where I used to receive confirmation of God's presence, and I don't see him. Where is the fire? Where is the cloud? Where is the angel? Here, I need God the most. I've never needed him like this before. And when I look for him, I don't see him. Jesus, I feel abandoned and left alone at the time I needed him the most. But I'm telling you, don't miss interpret the move of God. God moved, but he didn't move the way we thought he was going to move. And because he didn't move the way we thought that he was going to move, some of us have accused him of leaving. But the Bible didn't say that he left Israel. He said at first he was in front of them, but now he is behind them. What's on the other side of them? The Pharaoh's army is behind them. Listen to what Isaiah said about that. Isaiah 52, verse 12 says, the Lord will go ahead of you. Yes, the God of Israel will protect you from behind. Isaiah 58, verse 8 says, then your salvation will come like the dawn, and your wounds will quickly heal. Somebody tell your neighbor, your wounds will quickly heal. Your godliness will lead you forward, and the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. Hear what he said. He said, you think God left you. But what you didn't realize is that God's strategy is to protect you from behind. Listen. Whenever I go to the mall or I'm in a public place with my family, I always have them walk ahead of me. I'm always behind them. Why? Because nobody's going to sneak up on my family. You're going to have to get me before you grab my children or my wife. You're going to have to get all the pounds that exist in this body. And I'm not telling you because that's none of your business. But you got to get all of this. You got to defeat the strong man before you get to my family. And so the Bible says that God protects us. Not only does God protect us, but he says his glory protects us from behind. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, there is no sneak attack in the kingdom of God. Why? Because God protects us from behind. While we are looking forward, God has our back. Hallelujah. That's why I don't need a plan for my adversary, because God has my back. That's why I don't need to talk about people who are talking about me, because God has my back. There is not a whisper said about me that God doesn't know, because he has my back. So can I tell you, not only is he covering our enemies from our back, but he's protecting us from our past that's trying to get into our future. Can I tell you, the adversary wants to keep reminding us of what we used to be and where we came from so that we will no longer look forward, we will look back. But can I tell you, this thing is so liberating that you don't even have to worry about your past coming up and sneaking it up on you. Why? Because God is even protecting you from your past, because your past is behind. Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I don't have to worry about what's behind, because the captain of the Lord's army has my back. You can bring up my past if you want to, but you got to go through the captain of the Lord's army to defeat me. So he's standing between Israel and their adversary. They're not trapped anymore. You know who's trapped now? The Egyptians are trapped now. Yeah, I'm in the same place, but I'm not trapped. Hallelujah. I still got mountains on either side and a sea in front of me, but I'm not trapped anymore because God has my back. He said, the Lord will protect you from behind. Don't live looking over your shoulder, because the Lord protects us from behind. Now, let's look at verse 20, and then I'll be done. Because verse 20 is also a strange happening. Verse 20 says, throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to the one side and light to the other side. So neither went near the other all night long. So here we have a standoff in the wilderness. Let's read this again. Through the night, the cloud brought darkness to the one side and light to the other side. Here's another change in God's strategy. The cloud was not for the night. The cloud was for the day. Chew on that for a minute. It was nighttime. It should have been fire. But God changed his strategy. He sent the cloud instead of fire. Read all the way up through chapter 14. You'll see fire in the night, cloud in the day. But the Bible says this time the cloud was there all night long. And I don't know how God did it, other than the fact that he is God. Maybe that's how he did it, because he's God. But the cloud, which has no ability to provide light, gave light on one side and darkness on the other side. Wait a minute. Did I make that up, or is that what the Bible said? This clouds don't have the natural scientific ability to produce light. They produce darkness. And on one side, where Egypt is, there's darkness. But on the other side, there is light. And it stayed that way all night long. Several things are interesting. How is it that you have light at night from a cloud? Can I tell you, that's why we're never trapped, because God will break all types of natural phenomenon just to make sure that we are delivered. And while there was darkness on one side, there was light on the other. While the enemy lived in darkness, the children of God lived in the light. And the Bible says all night long they were walking towards the Red Sea, and they stood and nobody went towards each other. Why? Because the Egyptians couldn't see anything because God sent darkness. Can I tell you, when you are a child of God, what brings darkness to your adversary will bring light to you. Lord have mercy. God can send one thing and it'll blind your adversary and give you light. Hallelujah. God is so powerful. There is no situation that he cannot manipulate to our advantage. Let me tell you, we are never behind the eight ball. We are never trapped. We are never outnumbered. The odds are never against us. In fact, the odds are in our favor, because if God is for us, who can be against us? Lord have mercy. Stand to your feet at this time. Let me stop for the day. Understand that God has a plan for us. And nobody enjoys being in the wilderness. Nobody enjoys being in the wilderness. Nobody enjoys dealing with things that you never thought you would have to deal with in your life. None of that is fun. All of us want it easier. But I can tell you this. It is through our wilderness experiences that God shows us who he really is. It is through our wilderness experiences that we realize that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. No plan of the adversary can keep us from experiencing all that God has for us. Nothing can stop God from doing what he wants to do in our life. I want you to know that God is always speaking, always leading, always protecting. I'm going to pray for you in a minute, but if you are in a wilderness situation this morning, expect the consistency of the presence of God. He may give you instructions that you don't like and don't make sense. He may tell you to go left and you are confident that right is the place to go. But God says, go left. I promise you, even if it looks like when you made that turn, it was a turn for the worse. Even if it looks that way, I promise you, as sure as I am standing here today, that God has a plan to deliver. He doesn't allow you to go in it unless he has a plan to bring you out of it. And when he brings you out of it, you will know who he is. Anybody know that you know more about God now than you did before what you just came through? How many of you know you face something that you thought you could never face, and you're facing it with joy and with victory? And some of us are crazy enough to agree with David when he said, it was good for me that I've been afflicted, that I may learn thy statutes. Every once in a while, what we learn is so good that we look back at the 9 months of pain and agony and suffering and say, that was good for me. And if I had to do it all over, I would do it again because of what I know now. The testimony of Israel was so great that generations have passed and we still lean on their testimony. Generations has passed and we are still seeing God in one way or another, be cloud by day, fire by night. He's still opening up seas for us in the wilderness. I want to pray for you. Would you bow your heads? I want to pray for you now. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Can we just call on his name? I'm going to pray, but can we call on his name, Jesus? Yes, that's the name you need in your wilderness. That's the name you call. When it seemed like he is moved, just call Jesus. When you look at the normal place and he's not there, just say Jesus. When he looks like your enemy is on your back, just say Jesus. God, I pray for your people this morning. Your people who are experiencing a wilderness this morning. Not of their own doing, not of their own choosing, but they have found themselves in the wilderness. God, first of all, I pray that you will remind them of your promise, what you have promised them. Let them know that your promise is as good today as it was the day you gave it to them. I pray now in the name of Jesus that way down in the depths of the city of their soul, that promise would be made alive again, that they will know still to expect it. Hallelujah. Yes, that they can still possess it. Hallelujah. That no matter where they are on this journey, hallelujah, that the promise is still good. Not only do I pray that you restore your promise to them, but I pray that you will give them the ear to hear when you are speaking to them, that they will know when to get out, when to turn left, when to stand still, when to move forward, when to cross over, and when to possess it, that your instructions will be consistent and clear, and when you speak, we will obey. Hallelujah. No more asking you to speak. You speak, and then we do something else. That season is over, God. We declare it. That when you speak, we will obey. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. I pray for that person in this room right now that needs comfort. Spirit of the living God, comfort them right now. Give them joy. Restore their joy. Restore their peace. Bring peace to every household that's represented here today. God, help us to realize that we may be in the wilderness, but the wilderness is not in us. It's not in our hearts, that our minds will not be a wilderness. Our hearts will not be a wilderness, but our hearts will be a place where your word reigns. And there is peace and consistency. I thank you for what you're doing in this house. These blessings we ask and receive them now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Just for a few seconds before I dismiss you, can you just lift your hands and worship the Lord here? One thing the children of Israel did, they maintained their worship. Even in the wilderness, they maintained their worship. They may have complained, but they kept on worshiping. They may have feared, but they kept on worshiping. Oh, they didn't understand, but they kept on worshiping. Hallelujah. Worship is how you get through it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tears in your eyes, pain in your heart. Hallelujah. But you keep on worship. What is worship? You are giving worth to God. You are saying, God, you are worthy. You are great. You are wise. You are awesome. There's nobody like you. I offer you my life. Use my life as a testimony. Use my situation as a witness in this earth that you alone are God and there's nobody like you. You are the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me. I receive your will for my life. You're my healer. You're my deliverer. You're my keeper. Use me for your glory. Anybody want to be used by God? Anybody want to be used by God? The instrument doesn't get to choose how it's used. The workman chooses the instrument and how it's used. He's the workman. We are the instrument. He can use us however he wants. Hallelujah. Are you a willing instrument this morning? Hallelujah. Say, God, you can use me however you want. You can use me on the mountaintop, but you can use me in the valley. You can use me in the garden where there's plenty, or you can use me in the wilderness where there's nothing, God, wherever you want to use me.